أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه من سنة بسنة يوم الدين، وما بعد. We listen to the beautiful verses of Surah Hajj and Surah Mu'minun, and these two surahs are Makki surahs, except for some of the ayats that are revealed in Surah Hajj, where after the Hijrah of Rasulullah SAW, the ayats of Qital and the ayats of Hajj, the Manasik. In these surahs, as you heard, these beautiful verses, they talk about the Wahdaniyah of Allah SWT first and foremost, and also about the Qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his status and his izzah and maqam, and his supremacy on earth. And also they talk about the very important issue that plagues all of our minds, and that is Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off Surah Hajj with the issue of addressing nas, human beings, not just Muslims or believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha an-nas ittaqu rabbakum inna zalzalat as-sa'ata shay'un 'azeem. That all you, all human beings, all humanity, all children of Adam in general, regardless of your background, regardless of your ethnicity, and regardless of your religious perspective, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Look at the khitab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing them, addressing all human beings in general, alike, uniformly. And then addressing them as He is their Lord, meaning He's not just the Allah or Lord of Muslims, but He's the Lord or the creator, originator, master of every single human being that is true on this earth. And Allah says over here, إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّعْدَ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ. Verily the shaking and shivering of that hour, sa'ah over here, hour, which means the hour of judgment, does not mean that the day of judgment will be just 1 hour, but it's used in the sense of time, the accountability. When Allah will account us on Yawm al-Qiyamah, it is a very huge, a very burdensome, a very heavy thing. Why? Because in the next ayah, Allah says, how heavy and how tense that day would be can be just gauged from a physical action. In today's life, you see that people, when they are having a baby, they would take the wife to the hospital for delivery, and sometimes it happens on the way, on the path, before they even get there. Allah says that day, its tense will be so much that mothers, يوم ترون تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها. That each mother that is feeding her newborn child will leave the child. Can you ever perceive in today's world, in dunya right now, a mother will forsake her child? No. Even if the husband or anyone says leave it, she will not. Because it is from the love of the mother for the child that is a very strong bondship, connection. But Allah's mother is giving two examples, and the parables and two examples are related with the love of motherhood, the strength, the bondship of mother with the child. That in first perspective is about with the feeding, that she will be so stressed and concerned that when the surah will be blown, the trumpet, even that the mother that is feeding would leave and rush. And then the other one is كُلُّ ذَاتَ حَمٍّ حَمْلَهَا. And the one that is carrying the weight would drop because of the intensity of the day. What is the purpose of this Allah's mother trying to tell us? Allah's mother is trying to address us right from the outset of Surah Hajj, that look, human beings, let's not play games. Let's not waste time in vain. Let's get serious. It's time to be serious with our life. That is what the personification of these ayats are. And especially when Allah is addressing that to all of humanity, then imagine what is the issue when it comes to the believers, the muwahideen. That Allah SWT is saying that they should be at a much farther pace compared to the rest of the human beings on earth. Then Allah SWT tells us, وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى. And you'll see that people drowsy, intoxicated. Second, intoxication cannot be just of alcohol or mukhadarat, drugs or things. Sakr in the sense of stress and weightage of things, of car. Sometimes when you're stressed out, you tend to feel dizzy and drowsy. You don't concentrate when you're driving the car. So stressed, the blood pressure is high, you have pain on the backs of the ear and the necks because of high blood pressure. So stressful life. Allah was saying that that day, you will see people in intoxicated drowsiness. And they're not really taking any drugs or alcohol or drinks. But the issue of the Day of Judgment is so humongous, so huge of magnitude, that they are just stressed out. They don't know what's going to happen to them. They don't know what they did in this dunya and this life. And this is the personification of that person who played games in this world, who took this dunya la'ibu wa lahu wa zinat. Allah SWT, as he says in the Quran, that some people, they take this dunya very jokingly, easily. As we also heard in Surah Mu'minun, the verse Allah SWT says regarding those people, that what? When we die, we're going to be raised again. As a mitna kunna turaban. That when we die and become turab, dust again, we'll be again resurrected. Allah SWT saying that, look, creating this human being the first time was, it should be more difficult in the logical point of view. To create something the first time, logically, it's understandable, it will be difficult. Creating it a second time, duplication is no joke. So Allah SWT saying, if I can create you the first time without any effort, kun fayakun, why do you think, or human being, that it will be difficult to come back again? And that is why Allah says, وَتَرَى النَّاسُ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى وَلَكِنْ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. What makes them intoxicated and stressed out and tense is the azab of Allah. Oh no. The feeling of guilt and remorse that I have shortcomings. The feeling that I did not make it to the finish line. I fell short of the requirements and obligations. And that tense will inspire the person to start sweating, as the hadith of Rasulullah says that on the Day of Judgment, you see people who will be sweating and perspiring profusely, that some of them will have their sweats up to their ankles, some of them to their knees, some of them to their waistline, some of them to their necks, and some drowned. That does not mean that they have a bucket of water that they're drowning in. The metaphoric expression over here is that they are so tense and so stressed out. And the perspiration, like even in this dunya, when you're nervous and stressed out, you start sweating all of a sudden. That's why in the lie detector test, they try to see, you put you in a cool room and see if you're sweating, then the person is lying. And that is also being detected. Then Allah tells us that, look, if you human being, insan, are really in doubt about the resurrection, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِنَ الْبَأْسِ فَإِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ عَلَقَةٍ. Allah tells us the stages or phases of creation of the human being. From a one drop of a fluid. And Allah SWT says that if I can create you as your creator, I can create you from a small fluid, a drop, then there is nothing to be doubting about the Day of Resurrection when Allah will create us again from the dust. And then Allah SWT furthermore says in verse number 7, وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ عَذِيَةٌ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ. That be it known, O human being, that certainly indeed Allah SWT will bring the hour to account, accountability will be there. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ. Whoever is in the grave will be resurrected. Just like we will read or listen to the Shaykh in the end of Surah Mu'minun, Allah SWT talks about the issue of the grave life, which we call Barzakh. That when he says, لَعَلِّي أَرْجُونَ أَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا. In that ayah, verse number 98 to 100 in Surah Mu'minun, Allah says that this human being requests Allah, that لَعَلِّي, that give me a chance, one chance that I arjay, وَأَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا. That I go back to this dunya, oh Allah, just give me one chance and I'll do it, I'll fulfill it. Now I know the reality, because he's seeing resurrection, so he says, give me one more chance. Allah says, كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلَّمَةٍ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. No, never. Never ever, certainly not. إِنَّهُ كَلِمَةٍ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. Certainly it's just a kalima, a word that this person is saying, an excuse. Because Allah is our creator and knows us inside out, that even if He gives us a second chance, when we come back to this dunya thinking that, oh, I have a second chance, so I better not play games now, let me get serious. But Allah is saying, no, this human being will go back to playing polo and baseball and cricket and football and having a nice time and party. And that's what Allah is saying, إِنَّهُ كَلِمَةٍ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. It's just a word He's saying to make that time, make it easy for us. And Allah says, وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ. And then from there, behind that is their barzakh, the barrier, until the Day of Judgment, the life of the grave. And that's what Allah says, that He will yab'asu man fil qubur, He will resurrect every single person from the graves. Imagine right now, we're living on top of the earth. But there are countless of people, billions of people, even more than that, zillions, trillions of people who are living below this earth. Those who died. This is 2004, you don't know how old this earth is. Every single person from Adam alayhi salam till now, until the Day of Judgment, will be going to the grave. We are living here, what, 6-7 billion people on earth, on top of the earth right now. There's like 100 zillion times more than that below the earth, which are in dust. And they are in their kubur. Allah is saying that He will resurrect each and every soul, big or small or fat or thin, from the grave. And there's no doubt about it. And that is why, what is Allah trying to inculcated and imbibed in our minds over here in these two ayats in Surah Hajj and Surah Ma'mun. They're like intertwined together. Allah is trying to make us realize that, look, the life you spend on top of the earth is minimal, is minute compared to the life you spend below the earth. So are you ready for that life? That's the question the Creator, the Master, the Originator is asking each one of our souls. That, oh insan, oh human being, whatever your name is, Fulan ibn Fulan, are you ready for that longer journey life that you'll be spending in the dust, in the sand, in the grave, in the qabr, in the barzakh? Because we think that we live here, what, 40, 50, 60, 70, most 90, 100 years? But there we're living more than that. Thousands and thousands of years people are living there and they have to face. It's not that their time has halted. It is halted, yes. But there are actions things going on according to the hadith of Rasulullah. He said that the grave will either become a portion of Jannah or a portion of hellfire. It's like a sneak preview. You know, they say before releasing the actual thing, they are giving you a preview that look what is going on. So before the Yawm al-Qiyamah, as Allah says, on the Day of Judgment, before we actually face what we have to face, Allah just gives us a sneak preview in the barzakh, in the qubur, that this is what you're about to face, but it's not guaranteed. Why? Because there's another hadith of Rasulullah, he said, is a matter ibn Adam in qata amalu, illa min salaf. When the son of Adam dies in qata, the amaluhu, his or her actions cuts off. Can't do anything anymore, can you? No. So, except from three. Except three things that the Bani Adam, even in the grave, can accumulate. Why? How? Number one, sadaqu jariya, building a hospital, a masjid, building a place of worship, a school, an orphanage, something that benefits humanity, people. And the person is in the grave, but he gave, even if he gave a 5 or 10, 20, 30, whatever dollars, 100, 1,000, whatever dollars he gave is now bringing him dividends. These were his investments, not the investment brokerage that you have a Prudential and what AXA and what, all these things. This is the immense investment of Akhirah. That people are in the grave and they start seeing, oh, I'm accumulating good deeds. Oh, yes, I gave a donation to that fundraising dinner. I gave a donation to that place. You don't know where you give donations. You give and you forget. But in the grave, you start seeing accumulation. That's the first thing, sadaqah jari. Next, waladun salih yad'u lahu. You leave behind your most vital investment, children, son and daughter, that make dua for you. And every time they do a good deed, you're getting dividends and reaping rewards and fruits of it because you invested in them. You trained them, you nurtured them, you groomed them, you brought them onto the sha'ar symbolism of Islam. And now that you're no longer above the earth and you're below the earth, the children that you leave behind are always making, raising their hand saying, oh Allah, forgive my father. Oh Allah, forgive my mother. Oh Allah, make the coolness of Jannah in the father's grave. Oh Allah, make the moon light in my mother's grave. And these du'as are now reaping the things. And the third thing that the Prophet said is, عِلْمٌ يُنْتَفِعُ بِهِ. Any knowledge that this Bani Adam leaves behind after his going to grave, that people seek benefit of. Even if it means you wrote an article in the Star Ledger or whatever the local newspaper, even if that was there and you're done, that article that you wrote, whoever will read until the Day of Judgment and gets benefit from it, from any knowledge that you shared with anyone, will now be giving you reward. So that is why it's a sneak preview, it's not a guarantee. If somebody, it is possible, very, very possible, that somebody during their life did not do enough good deeds, they see a dark or bleak sneak preview in the barzakh, in the grave. But they left behind enough investments that now it tips the tide. While in the grave, these dividends in the behind are now giving tons and tons of rewards. Hasanat. And that is why the tide begins to rise. And maybe on the Day of Judgment, he will be successful because of this. And that is what Allah's Mother is trying to inspire us in. But look, think of the next life. Think of barzakh, any moment. Barzakh starts right the second our last breath stops. That's it, that's how barzakh started. So Allah is saying that this is uncertainty. You're living on the edge. You don't know when barzakh will start. You can't say, okay, my barzakh is going to start in 2020. So I got 16 years to work with it. That's 365 days times 16. Got plenty of time. Who? Nobody knows. Nobody knows even tomorrow we will be sitting here and sharing this knowledge. Who knows who will be here, who will be not. So Allah's Mother is trying to get in us a sense of urgency, hastiness. And that is why Allah tells us, once discussing these ayahs of Qiyamah and Akhirah, look at this beautiful, beautiful ayah. Right after that, Allah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. This ayah moves you, shakes your heart, you know, really gets you shivering and sends a chill down your spine. That Allah is saying, not for amongst the Muslims, Allah is saying, for amongst human beings, مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. Now I know in Urdu and Arabic both harf means an alphabet, but that's what it doesn't mean over here. It means al-qalq, tazalzul, and on a very restlessness. You know, it's like, to give you a nice example in a way to understand, it's like standing on the edge of a fence. You don't know if you're going to fall this side or backwards. You're like trying to balance yourself out, and the fence itself is paining you because your feet, a fence is not a rock solid kind of thing, barrier that you can rest on. It's something that is making you restless. So Allah is saying that there are amongst human beings, Bani Adam on this earth, that worship Allah on tazalzul, on qalb, on very suffocation, on uncertainty, on swaying constantly, sometimes this way, sometimes that way. Sometimes they feel like, let me go to the masjid, pray in Jama'ah. The next time they come say, oh, let me go to the nightclub and have a nice time. It's like there's unrestlessness. And there's no stability, istiqamah. There is no resolve and commitment. And Allah is saying that what happens to this person? فَإِنْ أَسَابَهُ خَيْرًا اِتْمَأَنَّ بِهِ. If some good comes to this person who is on this edgy kind of thing, it's like on the edge of the cliff. If a good comes, he turns around the good. If a bad comes, he says, let me make suicide, you know, at the end of the life. It's like that edgy kind of person. Allah is saying that إِنْ أَسَابَهُ خَيْرًا, if good comes to him, he relaxes. Satisfies, tranquility, peace. وَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ فِتْنَةٌ إِنْقَلَبَ عَلَى وَجْهِ خَسْرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And when fitna or something negative strikes this person, he or she then totally gets what? إِنْقَلَبَ عَلَى وَجْهِ, falls on his face, you know, falling down there, like falling from that cliff. And then Allah says, these are the people who يَدُوا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَضُرُهُ وَمَا لَا يَنْفَعُ. A very important principle, Allah is saying, that those people who call on deities or gods other than Allah are worshipping things that cannot even harm themselves or benefit. Look, the concept of harm comes first and then the benefit. In the Siyaq al-Ayah that the Mufassirin say, there's an emphasis that Allah sometimes gives of what comes first, what comes next. Allah is saying in this ayah, يَدْعُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَضُرُّهُ وَمَا لَا يَنْفَعُهُ. They worship something other than Allah which does not even harm them, nor does it benefit them. As if implying what? Hey, what you worshipping? Something that can't even harm you? Because harm is the first property or attribute that can come from something that a person is worshipping. So Allah is saying, are you naive? Are you fool? What are you worshipping that can't even harm you, let alone benefit? I mean, what to talk about benefit from something when that something can't even harm you? And it's a very intellectual, logical, at the same time very plain and simple kind of ayah that even a farmer can understand, and it comes to the most worst atheist on earth can also be, you know, astonished and stunned. That really, that is something to think about. Then Allah also talks in Surah Hajj about the manasik of Hajj and other things, and the issue of the rituals that are there, how to do and what to do, what not to do. And then Allah tells us about the symbolism, that one of the things from Hajj is the sha'air of Islam, the symbol of Islam, you know, the glory. You know, when 3 million, 4 million people getting over there, you know, it really thrills you. Even those who don't make it to the Hajj, when they see the images of Hajj, you know, don't you really get enthusiastic of, wow, we are a force, we have something to reckon with. But then after Hajj, that same force dwindles down and we like beating up in all parts of the world. But Allah is saying that take a lesson from Hajj, and that's what Allah says, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَ مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Certainly that person who establishes and propagates the symbolism of Allah, of Islam, it's from the depth of their taqwa of the heart. Meaning the taqwa of the heart is what's forcing them to establish their sha'air. Sha'air is the plural of sha'air, which means in the sense of symbolism. If I wear my Islamic attire, my Islamic way, my Islamic methodology, I'm not feared of what the society is going to call me, what they're going to think about me. I establish my symbolism of Islam, regardless of anything. Allah says that is from the strength and stamina of the quwwa, of the power of taqwa in the heart. Because sometimes people say, oh no, I can't pray over here, it's in the park. What are they going to say? Hey, you Osama's brother or something? I can't pray here in the airport. Okay, I'll pray at home, even though the salah is going to be covered, it's going to be wasted. I can't pray in the airport. Ooh, they're going to tense, you know. People, this is what Allah is talking about. Where are you going? Are you going on the pathway to heaven, or are you going trying to stay in the rest area, which is called dunya? Because this is just a rest area. It's going to be blown up pretty soon. In any way. And Allah is saying that when He's going to fold up and blow up this whole earth and finish it up, where are the people who were in the rest area, in the barzakh? Then also Allah tells us about the issue, وَبَشِّرِ الْمُخْبِتِينَ. The issue of, if you remember in Surah Anfal, we talked about also over there, that those who have al-khibt, meaning those who are very, very dissolved, engulfed in the parameters of Islam. That is what mukhbitin is. And Allah gives us three qualities of those mukhbitin. If we just memorize and keep them highlighted, and whenever we're driving or walking anywhere, we just see which of these three among qualifying. First one, Allah says, mukhbitin are those people, الَّذِينِ ذَذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجَدْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Number one quality is that when Allah is mentioned, their hearts tremble and shake and wither. They really get shaken up inside, moved that Allah is being mentioned. Meaning what? You listen to a Quran, you listen to some dars or short talk, or you listen to somebody reminding you that this is Amr Ma'ruf and Nahy Munkar, and if you just pass by as if nothing happened, that means it's not fulfilling this criteria. But if somebody reminds you of one small hadith and you really feel shiver, that is what a mukhbit person is, one who has that taqwa level of that such high. Quality number two, وَالصَّابِرِينَ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَهُمْ. Number two is that they're patient and persevering in every single aspect of things that come their way, whether it's affliction or calamities, or also whether it's prosperity and good times. They're still sober, they have patience on that. Not that they become wild and crazy and start having celebrating and enjoyment. Oh, the good days, you know, riding a high tide wave, so it's time. No, they keep in check their emotions and sentiments. And even in good times, they know how to react and not just become too emotional and sensitive. Quality number three, وَالْمُقِيمِ السَّلَاةِ, and they establish prayer. They are steadfast on their prayer. They never miss it. They never lose track of it. They never lose in their mind any sense of it. And the fourth is, مُمِمَّا رَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, whatever we have given them in terms of wealth, they spend out of it. Then Surah Hajj also talks about the issue of food and eating, and also talks about the ayah number 39, which gave the izn permission to the Sahaba from Allah SWT to fight, because you know while they were in Mecca they were forbidden from fighting, even though they used to come to the Rasul. But in ayah number 39 Allah SWT says, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا, that now Allah is giving them the izn, the permission that they can fight because they have been oppressed for 13 years in Mecca, and now in Medina they were allowed to take up arms. Then Allah talks about His signs of the creations and to reflect upon, and then He also talks about the parable of a fly. Okay. يَا أَيُّهَا الْغُرَّ مَثَلُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ. Those people who worship other than Allah, they can't even create the smallest creature like a fly. So what are you trying to think about them, that they are great or huge thing? And then Surah Mu'minun is also Makki Surah. It talks about the qualities of believers. We have run out of time, we can't go through it, but the first 10 ayats that the Shaykh recited today already talks about it, and then towards the end of the Surah also talks about the qualities of the Surah of the believers, what etiquettes and manners they have.